Okay, Colly Ennis is here. He is the research associate in the zoology department at Trinity College in Dublin. We like to say, you know, friendly neighbourhood Spider-Man, Colly Ennis.
Thank you very much.
And you might have heard, I don't know if you heard us, but I was ranting on yesterday about spiders, and they do feel like they're much bigger than they were when I was a child. And especially when you're a child and you think things are, you know, shrink when you get older. And lots of anecdotal people kind of talk about there's definitely something going on with the spiders, the heat wave, it's doing it. We must have spiders coming in from Costa Rica or somewhere. What's going on? So we'll start. Are spiders bigger now around the place in Ireland than they were when we were little?
Absolutely not.
No.
I think what's happening at the moment is kind of similar to, it's like a mini version of what happened with COVID. Because people are out in their gardens, because it's lovely and sunny, they're just noticing stuff that's already there. It's always been there, and they just hadn't been out because generally we have terrible summers and people would be out sitting, lying in the grass and looking up at their bushes and watching wasps and spiders have little battles and all kind of things that are going on all the time.
And because people are obviously indoor and they're saying that they're more active now. Well, people have seen the spiders, so there is no change to the size of spider or the population or the variation of species we've had, no?
The only new species we've gotten in recently is the false widow spider, and everybody knows about them.
Yeah.
They've been introduced to the country. Apart from them, though, the really big spiders you see are the European house spiders, and they've always been in their houses. These are the spiders your great-great-great-grandparents would have been dealing with and probably would have had a lot more interaction with, because over the years, we've become a lot more clean and house proud about our houses, as in, like, you know, the windows are better and the spiders have a harder time getting in. But no, they're always there. They're always in your house. They're always around. You do tend to notice them a lot more towards the end of the summer into the autumn.
And there's nothing, because people are saying there's more webs and stuff, which you do expect in September. When there, what's going on in September, by the way? When is it mating season?
Mating season.
Okay.
It's the forlorn, lovelorn male spiders going out looking to find a female in her web and perform a little dance for her, try and entice her out so he can mate with her. And then he'll try and move on to another female, but generally she'll make a snack out of him.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty tough life.
Hence
being a male spider.
The female of the species is more deadlier than the male.
Exactly.
Are they more active? Are they kind of coming into that mating season now? Are we seeing them more active now than they would have been a month ago?
So why people are noticing more now is because they're starting to fatten up. They're starting to... It's been a good year for spiders. There's been a lot of bugs around. It's been quite warm.
Because
quite
of lack
muggy.
Of frost or something, is it? Or?
It's warm and muggy, and invertebrates kind of love that kind of weather. And it's been good for spiders because they can eat a lot. At this time of year, you're going to see your orb web spiders in the garden that make the big webs around your rose bushes and your
the
hedges.
Amazing ones that you see with the dew on it in the morning.
Exactly, beautiful to look at first thing in the morning with some dew dripping off it. And they're getting big now. They'll start to produce eggs towards the end of the summer as well, which will overwinter, and then the whole cycle will start again next year. And most of our spiders will have a kind of an annual cycle.
Very good. And you have, what is it, the orb one is the nice kind of elegant one with the long legs.
Well,
I don't mind that one so much.
This is a cellar spider. This is the one that people will find around cold, damp places in their house, bathrooms, kitchens, under your sink.
Yeah.
And these guys have really long legs, very spindly looking, very delicate looking. But if you don't like spiders, these are the spiders to have around your house because they're actually spider eating specialists.
Oh, great. And I think that's the nicest looking one because it is like minding its own business. Doesn't want to run across your face.
It's very dainty. It stays in the web. It doesn't go onto the ground. It doesn't stick out so much because its legs are so thin.
You'd see it the odd time in the shower after you have unwittingly covered in water, and it looks all sad.
Yes.
In the pool of water with all its legs splayed out like kind of a giraffe of the spider kingdom. What is the one that we don't so much like? This is the one I saw.
Yeah, I'll hand that over to you.
Okay, I'm looking at it here in a little plastic. Oh my God, it's so...
This is a stereotypical one that everybody will think of, and it's the giant European house spider. And this is the one you find in your sink or your bath after a male will go wandering around looking for a female and slip into the bath. And not all spiders are great climbers, believe it or not. These guys can't really get a grip on the edge of the bat, so they end up just sitting there. And people think that they come out of the plug holes and, you know, they're falling from the ceiling and all these things. But it's just a male spider generally going for a wander, and he falls in the bat and can't get out.
Got hairy legs and everything yeah. on it, and like a little stinger at the back.
They're those things
that's
at the back.
Been around.
Those things at the back are actually where the web come out of.
Oh right.
So
behind them.
Yeah. Spinnerets, they're called.
They didn't put that in Spider-Man, did they? Would have been a totally different comic.
If he was anatomically correct, he'd look very odd indeed, swinging from his backside. But yeah, so they're the spinnerets, and that's where the silk is produced from. They're really harmless. They look very scary, though.
It moves a lot. Yes. The
they're actually in the Guinness Book of Records as the fastest spider on Earth. Now, I don't particularly believe that because I've seen what I think are faster spiders.
But they're running.
If you're to look it up, that's what they say they are.
It's gross, to be honest. It's gross. Sorry,
I'm not gonna convert you. I mean, no.
But people in with sash windows in particular, when you lift up the window and you can kind of see through the glass into it, you'll see all those little kind of cotton wool things.
Yes,
they're around all year round, but they're kind of are they made in September by the female spider?
Yes. So they're the egg sacs. And not all egg sacs will hatch out. Not all of them will be fertile or successful. And that's when you get these kind of mummified egg sacs around your...
They're kind of dormant. And they're really hard to get off. They're incredible.
Very hard to get off, yeah. Because they're quite strong. You know, spider silk is a really strong material that we're trying to copy for industry, for sewing up wounds after an operation. Because it's, you know, pound for pound, it's much, much stronger than even steel. It's really, really a great material. These are the guys who produce those things around your...
Can you describe this one?
So that's a very small spider. It's called a lace web. And it's dark.
This is the one that plays dead, is it, sometimes?
Oh, they all do if they were to drop out of a web. But this guy would... They really love windowsills. They love your sheds. They do make a very lacy kind of a... Like something, you know, you'd see on the edge of your granny's kind of cookery, the plates, the lacy kind of stuff.
Like kind of a doily.
Yeah, doily. That's the word I was looking for. Doily. Yeah, so that's the kind of web they make.
A room, because sometimes you're amazed at how you've just left a room and then you to go to the bathroom, watch a film, you come back in, and right across the doorway or even a wider space, there's now suddenly a
web. Yeah, a web. They're quite fast. Actually, baby spiders are fantastic at getting around, and they use webs like balloons, believe it or not. It is called ballooning. So I'll show you some baby spiders here that have just hatched out.
Oh yeah, this is the little cotton wool thing that's in your window. And you have it in a
You can see there's literally hundreds of them in that jar there.
There's hundreds. These, oh my God.
And they've all come out of the cocoon there, the egg sac.
They're like tick-sized spiders, but they...
Literally less than the size of a pinhead. And for them to travel around, it would take a long time for them to walk. So what a lot of spider species do is they stick their little backside up into the air and spin out some web at that size. And then the wind or some heat from the ground will catch them and carry them off, and they'll land and start up a new life.
So these things are exploding in our windowsills.
Flying away.
What size do they grow? How quickly do they grow then into?
So about a year, that would be an adult. After, you know, so from that size to a fully grown adult in a year, and depending on prey and...
They're not moving at all, these ones. Are they real?
No.
Oh, I see one moving. Yeah, okay, right, that's kind of gross. And what's going on in September? Because it's the women are in the windowsills laying the eggs. So the spiders you see inside running around very active are the males. Are they looking for attention?
The way the spiders work is the females stay put and the male has to go looking for the females. They're generally a lot smaller than the females. So when they are off wandering, that's when we see them. Each species will have a different way of trying to impress the female by doing a little drum or a dance or pinging her web, or some of them even bring like flies as little gifts for the female. So it's all very interesting and varied. It's like Love Island for arachnids, but they all have their little talents. And then once the mating has occurred, then she'll start fattening up, produce the egg sacs. they'll either hatch out if it's warm enough or stay there over winter and hatch out in the spring, and then the cycle starts again.
Stay out. Wow, they will take that long sometimes.
Yeah.
People say, oh, the best way to get rid of a spider is to spray peppermint, you know, get peppermint oil into water, spray it in the corners. Does it work?
There's been some research done into it, and certain things like citrus, a little bit of peppermint, do make a small difference, but it's not going to keep spiders out of your house, unfortunately. They're always going to be in and around our homes. They're actually quite useful because you're not getting blue bottles and stuff that's going to land on your food that will genuinely be making you sick or harmful.
Blue bottles are the worst.
Yeah. And spiders are doing a nice job. And for the vast majority of the time, they're behind your fridge. They're under your sink. There are places that you don't see them. So, and also, we're not Australia. We're not any of these dangerous places that we have really dangerous spiders. So we're
killer spiders. So they're kind of harmless. They will creep us out.
They creep us out.
You want people to love spiders. How did you become so passionate about creepy crawlies?
I like a lot of kids, I think I kind of would have collected bugs and stuff when I was a kid, and I just never grew out of them. You know, it's just a lifelong passion.
Thank God for the rest of us.
Yeah. It's just something I really find fascinating. I absolutely adore the natural world. I think it's just amazing. I think we're kind of losing that contact with the natural world nowadays, and especially with kids kind of get their nose stuck into a screen, maybe too young, and miss out on that. But that's why I kind of like doing stuff like this, to try and get people interested.
And are you specifically on arachnids in the zoology department in Trinity? Or
I like the kind of lesser loved creatures of the world. So invertebrates, arachnids, amphibians is a big passion of mine, especially Irish amphibians. So that's frogs, toads and newts.
Okay.
And
oh, newts.
And
I've never
lizards,
seen.
Yeah.
Do we have kind of lizards beyond newts in Ireland?
We're very lucky in Ireland for a person who's into herpetology, which is we've three native species, so you don't have to kind of stretch your brain too much to know about them. We have a native frog, a native toad and a native newt and a native lizard. So one of each.
What's the Irish lizard called?
It's the common lizard.
What's common lizard?
Now,
there must be some old Irish name.
The a lot of animals are called the common whatever, and they're not so common anymore. But we do have the common lizard. It is widespread throughout the country, so you'll find it everywhere from bogs to hillsides, and they love coastal areas as well. For example, if you're going out to Bray for the coastal walk out there, a lot of people look out to the sea. If you turn your head in towards the benches and the heather along there, you'll definitely see a lot of common lizards chilling out on a sunny day like today.
Your face lights up talking about this.
I absolutely love them. Absolutely. They're fantastic. Little Irish dragons.
And you're from Talla originally, aren't you?
I'm from Crumlin originally.
I'm from Crumlin.
Yeah, and then I lived in Talla for 16 years and now I'm in Wicklow, so in my element out there.
A bit more space for all your...
Yeah, for all the creepy crawlies.
Someone says, I've never seen as many moths in my house as now. Why is this? This is Margie in Monaghan.
Yeah, again...
got the windows open.
And the lights on. No, the National Biodiversity Centre did a kind of a survey on moths and butterflies recently, and the numbers seemed to be up on last year. And I was actually kind of worried because I thought the numbers were down in July, but it just seems everything's a little bit later this year and there seems to be a lot of them around. It's been, you know, insects love warm and damp conditions, and we've had a very warm and then we get a spell of rain and they get warm again. So it's nice to see. It's nice when you're driving home at night and you see lots of bugs flying around. For me, that's
your windscreen.
That's a great sign, because that means that it's a healthy ecosystem. There's food for bats.
That's a good point.
There's food for frogs, hedgehogs, and everything.
When your windscreen is splattered, you're going, well, at least they're still alive.
That's a great sign. That's what we want to see more of that. Okay.
And what do moths not like, if you want to not have them around?
Just close your windows and turn off the lights.
Why do they eat our clothes? Is it something they...
That's just a certain species of moth that their actual larva will actually munch away on carpets and
it's the larva that's doing
it. Yeah. They lay their eggs there. And
so if there's a hole in your jumper, you think doesn't seem so bad.
I actually saw two
moth.
Of them while I was waiting outside in RTE there, so I didn't want to say anything. There were two on the wall.
Are you suggesting that RTE's moth riddles?
I'm not going to say anything.
Do wasps ever sting other wasps, and do bees kill other bees? Asked Pat.
The wasps. I've no wasp predate on other invertebrates. I've never seen one of them have a go at another wasp, perhaps a different species of wasp.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the time of year now where you'll see wasps actually tackling the likes of flies, butterflies, even spiders. There's a lot of wasp species that specialise in eating spiders, and that's to bring back to feed their young in the hive.
Yeah.
And then the young produce a kind of a sugary substance that feeds the worker wasps. Now, when the queen wasp produces her heirs to her throne, as in the new queens that will leave, the colony collapses. There's no more young being born, so there's no more sugary food for the workers. And then they go AWOL, and that's when they start attacking people having their cider in the park or your ice cream. So that's what's happening there.
And someone asked us earlier on about the wasp nest they have in the front of their house. And it's obviously, they've been stung twice, put in the old wasp nest spray.
Yeah.
You look sad to hear these things. Yeah.
Look, come here. It's one of those things. It's hard to live with, especially if you have young kids or pets around, because they can get a little bit aggressive. So it's probably a job for a pest control company. But if you can avoid that kind of stuff at all, or leave it as late as possible, that would be ideal.
What's late for the wasp?
Well, as late as when the queens have left the nest, so into like September. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's going to...
Well, come here, since you've rumbled my urban legend that spiders got bigger because of climate change and so on, are wasps hanging around a bit later than they used to? You know, the kind of drunken wasps that shows up at Christmas?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we do seem to be getting like later summers and longer summers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as long as the temperatures keep to a certain level, all those insects that would normally die off in cold patches will actually hang around that little bit longer.
Because the frost kind of gets rid of like midges and so on, doesn't it? And
knock a lot of them on the head. Yeah, that's just part of the natural cycle.
And
the
climate change is fewer frost nights, isn't it, in Ireland? So there's going to be...
I'm not a climate expert, but anecdotally, I would say, yeah, that seems to be the case. And I've noticed that I'm seeing things a lot later in the year over the past number of years myself. So
the drunken wasps are a thing for us.
Yeah.
Good morning. Please tell us about the pregnant female. What happens to the babies? How many does she have? Where do they go? Says Carmel. It's obviously spiders.
Yeah. So it depends on species, but typical large numbers, like hundreds, when the... It depends. Like, for example, the lace web spider here that we were talking about, the female will actually sit on the eggs until they hatch. And this is a bit gruesome, but she'll actually let the young eat her. She presents herself to the young. Okay. She starts to kind of vibrate and gyrate, and they come on and they eat her, and then they go on their way.
We want people to love spiders.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the more gruesome ways that she looks after them. Some spiders, like the wolf spiders that you'll see scurrying along the ground, they don't make webs. They'll actually carry the eggs in a sack on their backside.
Oh, right.
And then when the young hatch out, they'll actually ride on mammy's back for a while until they're old enough to go off and hunt on their own. Most of the spiders, when the egg sac hatches out, they'll just hang around for a while until they have their first molt, and then they'll disappear and establish webs of their own.
Well, it's great. You won't convince people who are absolutely in trepidation of spiders of much. But someone like me who kind of squirms a little bit, but then when you kind of tell me more, I'm more fascinated than
that's
a bit
the
freaked
idea.
Out.
That's the idea.
So you keep doing that, and that is your passion, and that's your purpose in life, Colly Ennis, isn't it? In many ways. And I can't hike ever again without thinking of the common lizard all around the place. But they're grand.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They're wonderful little creatures. So keep your eye out for them.
Enjoy doing what you're doing, because you're buzzed by it.
Yeah.
I can tell. And Colly Ennis, thank you very much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
We'll take a wee break.